Tonight we're in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we're looking at forgiven. Hallelujah. I think we should say hallelujah when we get forgiven, like this lady got forgiven in our text tonight. So that's why I put that on there. Forgiven. Hallelujah. Luke 7, we'll be looking tonight at verses 36 through 50. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we will pray, and we'll go back and read some of it again as we go. I want you to get the whole story here as we look at forgiven. Hallelujah. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered begrudgingly, you have to add that, and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast judged, rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this tremendous account that we're looking at this evening. And we ask that we will gain some truth that will help us, some doctrine, some knowledge of what happened then, that we may live our lives more appropriately now, that we may love much as this woman loved much. And indeed, you as our Savior deserve our utmost love, just all of it. So we ask tonight that you would direct our steps in this message. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message and guide it, direct it. We want to see our Savior here in this text, this wonderful story. And we ask you to gain some great truth which will help us and help others. So you lead us, guide us, and direct us. We trust in you for that. We depend in you for that. And we ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Luke does not paint the ugly picture that we see unfolding here in verse number 36. As we started out, He kind of gets us into the next account of what's happening, but the ugliness is not painted. He says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him, that he would eat with him. And he went into that Pharisee's house and sat down to meat." Doesn't sound too bad, does it? First off. But Pharisees were not the kind of people you want to hang around with. Simon the Pharisee. We don't learn who it is until down in verse number 40. Simon the Pharisee invites Jesus to come to his house and to eat in his home. Boy, that sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah, right off it does. But the word Pharisee kind of gives us a hint about what's going on here. The Pharisees were constantly hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Luke mentions Pharisees 28 times in his gospel, always hostility towards Jesus. Every single time, that's where the Pharisees were. It may have been a proud act for him to invite Jesus to come to his house, to invite this traveling rabbi to come and to have a Sabbath meal there. There are many reasons why he might invite Jesus home for dinner. Maybe he was curious, want to learn more about him. Maybe he wanted to have bragging rights. I had the rabbi to my house. Possibly spiritual interest, but we know that that's not true. And maybe to get some further instruction. We know that one didn't happen either. But all kinds of reasons. What we don't see is the nasty animosity of Simon the Pharisee. We don't see that. The common courtesies that were done for guests were not done for the Lord Jesus Christ. A host would place their hand on the guest's shoulder and give them a kiss of peace as they entered the home. Sandals were removed and the feet were washed. Dinner guests were anointed with a touch of olive oil. Jesus got none of that. None of it. He was treated with contempt on purpose. This is not a really good-looking scene here. Everything designed to make a guest comfortable in his home was omitted. It was not done. None of it. Now the guests and the onlookers did not miss this. Everybody knew exactly what, you know, this was not done so that people didn't see it. They all saw. Everyone who came into that room, that courtyard, saw this. The guests would be reclining on low couches on their left elbow, and they would eat with their right hand. Now, I don't know what I would have done because I'm left-handed. I don't know if I would have complied or not, but that's what they did. And so they're low to the ground, and so as the people would walk this circle, you have all these dinner guests, you have a table in the middle, and then they would be laying with their head towards the table and their feet outwards. So everybody who walked the circle around those people could see Jesus' feet were dusty, dirty. Nothing was done about that. Everybody knew exactly what was going on. In Jesus' day, wealthy people built their homes around a central courtyard, and they would have their formal meals out there. It would be served out there. And so the guests are there, all lined up around this table, and their feet would extend away from the table. And they did that because they believed that their feet were unclean and offensive by nature. So the feet were as far away from the table as you could get them. Now the next thing is that the doors were left open to the courtyard. Why? Because they were happy to have townspeople come in and mill around, watch what's going on, listen to the conversation that is happening there. So typically, lots of people would wander into these courtyards. So guests and townspeople were very aware Jesus' feet were not washed by Simon. No one missed it. They all got it. So what do you say to a guest that you have insulted? So here's Jesus. He is at ease, but the conversation would be strained. Everyone knew that a lively exchange was probably coming. This is going to get pretty good. And no one expected what was to follow. So it begins with murmuring as a woman emerges from the shadows and comes into the courtyard and silently stands behind the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else. It is the Lord. That brings us to our first point tonight. Jesus' feet are anointed. Look at verses 37, 38. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, and we'll expand on that, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. So our English words kind of obscure the shock of the people. It was, look, that sinning woman is in here. And to them, she shouldn't have been there at all. She shouldn't be there at all. And so this is quite a shock to all these people. It was due to the woman being a sinner. In verse 39, we read, now when the Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, this term allows two possibilities, but Simon's revulsion lets us know, we know what the meaning is here. As the woman bends over Jesus' feet, it gets embarrassingly quiet. That sinning woman, she is one of our town prostitutes. She should not even be in here at all. That was their social decorum. She should not be here. And so she clasped a small, thin-necked alabaster vial of concentrated perfume with which she intended to anoint the feet of Jesus. She was there because of the gratitude in her heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ. She was there for gratitude. She loved him. At some point in recent history, she has heard the Lord Jesus preach, and her heart was changed. And so she had found forgiveness for her sins. Simon doesn't know this. He doesn't know this. He's still on, she's a wicked, rotten, filthy sinner thing. So her joy in seeing Jesus, so disrespected by Simon, pushes her forward to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. She's at his feet with her perfume, about to anoint his feet when you might say it all goes wrong. What happens? Tears start flowing from her eyes. Probably not intended, but these tears are flowing, and what are they doing? They are dropping right on Jesus' dusty feet. So we actually do have water coming from her eyes, hitting the Lord Jesus' feet. And she probably did not mean for that part of it to happen. She did not have a towel. She wasn't there for foot washing. She was there to anoint with this perfume. And so what does she do? She looses her long hair and uses her hair to wipe clean the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, they find fault with that. You do not loosen your hair except in the presence of your husband. You don't do that out in public. You keep it, you know, kind of tied up, or whatever they did in those days. But the woman anoints Jesus' feet with the perfume, and then she repeatedly is kissing his feet. That had to drive Simon absolutely nuts, and probably a lot of the other guests who were around the table. What the finger pointers did not see was a beautiful outpouring of love by a redeemed soul. They didn't get that. They didn't understand it. Simon, of course, did not get it. It was joyous humility. This lady loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite the tainted past that she had, she is now brimming with new spiritual life. Simon, again, he doesn't get that. He does not know that. Her guilt is gone, and a huge burden has been lifted from her shoulders. She is not who she was. So she's there, and she weeps, and she washes, and she cleans the Lord Jesus' feet. And she is now accepted by God. She is accepted by God. Here's a woman totally devoted to her Savior. This is kind of like where we were this morning in the message and also in Sunday school to a certain degree. Total devotion to her Savior. She was almost like, she was not the Virgin Mary, but she was like the Virgin Mary when she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." That's what she was doing here in that room at that time. How does Jesus handle this? Well, he surely was not put off. He was not put off at all by the woman's past fleshly sins. There was absolutely zero judgmentalism from the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not condemn her outward sin while ignoring inward sins. See, we're going to look at both of these individuals, Simon and the woman. And we're going to see some similarities and some differences in their lives. And Jesus has not changed at all. The one who loved and forgave the woman loves and forgives us today too. He has not changed. He will forgive anyone who comes in repentance. Up to this point, not a word has been spoken. No one has addressed this woman. But that's about to change. Point number two tonight, the words come out. The words come out. We will find this in verses 39 through 50. So the scene now switches from the woman to Simon. And what his words are saying, what's going on in his heart as he's thinking these things. His words were filled with indignant judgmentalism. And we see that in verse number 39. And now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. He's speaking within him. He's thinking this. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. But he doesn't know this is a redeemed sinner. He doesn't know what manner of woman this really is now. He's caught up in the past. He's caught up in what used to be this terrible sinner. And so Simon is thinking, he's talking these things, lowest of terms for her. You know, Jesus ought to know exactly how filthy this woman is. If he was for real, he would know that. He would know how filthy she really is. I mean, Simon would have preferred if the Lord Jesus would have taken one of his feet and just kicked that woman away. Get away from me. That's what he would have liked to seen happen. He saw her act of repentance and devotion, and he still called her a sinner. He watched what she did, and he still is caught up with that. His soul was frozen like the Arctic. This guy is really, really a bad sinner in his heart. His heart has no grace at all. But Jesus knows what's up inside both of their hearts. Jesus knows what's going on. And so Jesus decides to teach him a few things with a little parable in verses 40 to 42. And Jesus answering said unto Simon, Simon. Now remember, Simon in verse 39, he's saying this in his heart. But who knows what he's saying in his heart? Jesus does. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? So I think we're going to see three subpoints here under this one. First of all, A, their common debt. Their common debt. Both of them are debtors. The debtors in the parable are metaphorical for sinners. And so the woman is the 500 sinner. Simon is the 50 sinner. Outwardly, the woman was a great sinner, and Simon, not so much. Simon, he's pretty good. I'm not like her. Not at all. So, yes, Jesus could be thinking, you can give yourself a little bit of credit there, Simon. Just a little bit. And the point is, they are both sinners, and they are both sinners on the inside as well. This is where Jesus is looking. He's looking inside. He is not looking at the outside right now. Simon didn't get that. As tens of thousands of people, maybe millions of people since, still do not get that. They just do not see how sinful they are on the inside. Let me just say that this is something that we need to do as believers. We need to see how sinful we are on the inside. All of us. We know the thoughts that go through our bird brains, don't we? It's amazing. The terrible things that go through our minds. And so Simon's thinking is kind of like, grace is for big-time sinners, not for people like me. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm not like this filthy, rotten, wicked sinner. I don't need that. B, their common insolvency. Their common insolvency. Jesus is also pointing out that they both were equally insolvent. Both the 500 and the 50 were unable to pay. The one that owes 500, the one that owes 50, neither one of them could pay up. Simon, you are insolvent, period. And that is the condition of the whole human race. We are insolvent. All have sinned and come up short of the glory of God. And by the thousands and millions, people say, my goodness will surely be accepted. And we know it will absolutely not. The woman realized she could never pay what she owed, so God paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus chose to die on the cross for our sin. He chose to allow His blood to be that sacrificial blood for our sin. Simon was blinded to his need by his self-righteousness. Blinded by his self-righteousness. The woman was illumined to her need by her sin. She got it. She understood it. She was forgiven. See, Their love, verses 42 and 43. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Simon knew he was trapped. You know, all these people go up against the Lord Jesus not realizing they are never going to win. It is not going to happen. He knew he is trapped, so he says, well, the one with the biggest debt loved most, and that's the woman. it's not me. So in reality, some of the biggest sinners in this world have become the greatest saints of God. Isn't that something? They see their need. They understand. They got forgiveness. When a Christian sees what a great sinner he is, he will show great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That one is one to take to the bank. When we see what a great sinner we are, we will show great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem with Christians who don't love Jesus much is because they don't see their own great sinfulness. They spend their time looking at everybody else's sinfulness. They're like Simon the Pharisee, just looking around everybody else. Not, I'm good, but them, oh my. And so we got to be careful we don't get caught in that trap. So the verses 44 to 46. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And the fragrance filled the courtyard." That had to be something. Breaking open that rich perfume and dumping the whole deal on his feet. Now, one American evangelist used to say, "Oh, how hard it is to find sinners." Oh, how hard it is to find sinners. Now, a Christian, I'm on the last page. Everything I'm going to say has a red star in front of it. That means this is all important. The whole page, okay? Good stuff. A Christian who has great spiritual health is the one who rests upon the knowledge that they are sinners in need of the constant grace of God. That's where we need to live. Great spiritual health, the one who rests upon the knowledge that they are sinners in need of the constant grace of God. If we meditate on that truth and that becomes a part of us in our hearts, it'll change us. It will definitely change us. Simon, he could not get past his self-righteousness. He could not do it. He couldn't do it. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He was rich. He was self-righteous. And he had a bad heart. He didn't have a whole lot really going for him. Final thought. Look at verse 47 to 50. 47 to 50. "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves," and amongst their little table talk, "who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." So here we are. Jesus says to the woman, now let's see the posture. She's still kneeling before the Lord Jesus' feet. Tears are still flowing. Her hair now is an absolute mess as she used them for a towel. Now, Jesus, we're going to take that verse and say it a little bit differently. "For this reason I tell you that her sins, her many sins, must have been forgiven, or she would not have shown such great love." You see, the deal is this. That woman's sins were already forgiven before she got there. It was a done deal. And this part Simon didn't understand. He missed it. didn't know it. Her sins are already, Jesus already forgave her. She heard him before. And she got right. And she was redeemed. And so her passionate display of love was a result of the forgiveness that Jesus had already given to her. And we come back to this morning's message as well. The people today who say, I am saved by grace and kept by my works. It is the same picture right here. This woman's passionate display of love for Jesus is because of what he already did for her, not because of what she's going to do from here and forward. It's a done deal. She was already saved. She was already forgiven. So when we see our own great sin, we will be people who love much. And so for us here tonight, those that may be listening out there, I think that's something we should really think about this week. Think about how great our own sin really is. And allow that to turn you into one who loves Jesus much more because of it. And that kind of love is a telltale sign of genuine faith. And that's what Jesus said. Thy faith has saved you. Go in peace. Great stuff. Great text we have here tonight. I love it. So let's take this morning, let's take this evening, and the great truths that have been brought out in this text. Man, this could really revive our hearts. It could change us. It could change the whole church. It could change your hood and our community. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise tonight for the wonderful workings of our Savior. What a master teacher he was on this earth. People always befuddled who were after him, but yet there were those who came in faith, those who came and received forgiveness, those who listened to him and believed what he had to say, and there were many of those. So let us take the truths that are revealed here in this text tonight and let them work on our behalf, Heavenly Father. Use them in our lives that we may have that love for you and that love for others that we really can have as we see how great we are as sinners and how great the saving faith is that you have offered to us, and we have taken it. We have received it. And we ask, Lord, that you would allow all of that to outflow from us and our love to you, to one another, and the people all around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.